Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located on Baird's Creek Road. That is 1 mile at Baird's Creek Road. That's just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And if you are in the listening area or maybe just passing through the high country, we'd love for you to come and visit with us in any or all of our services. We'll do our best to make you feel welcome, and we appreciate the opportunity to be back one more time. This week, I want to make an announcement concerning a special meeting coming up at Mount Lebanon beginning this Sunday, March the 16th. No, March the 13th through the 16th. That's when our meeting is going to be. This Sunday, March 13th at 11 o'clock, our 11 o'clock service and our 2 o'clock service. We're going to have a special 2 o'clock service this Sunday afternoon. Evangelist Dr. Ben Carper is going to be with us, and then Monday night through Wednesday night he'll be with us at 7 p.m. So we'd love for you to come out. Brother Carper, he's been with us several years in a row now. He is on the radio lot. I don't know how many different radio stations, but the Bright Spot Hour. Some of you may have heard that on Christian radio. So we'd love for you to come out. We're looking forward to Brother Carper being with us in the days coming up. We also want to welcome all of our listeners on the different radio stations, those on WZAP 690 AM in, out of Bristol, Virginia, and then also on 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota, and of course right here on our home station, AM 1450 WATA. We're going to get right into our subject that we've been looking at for the past several weeks now. I've been bringing a series, and it's really helped me studying on the subject of heroes of prayer. Heroes of prayer, talking about different people that are known for their prayers or their prayer life. And we've been looking at many examples in the Bible. We've been looking at examples out of the Bible. Last week, we looked at Daniel. This week, I want us to look at an example from history, a gentleman named James Hudson Taylor. J. Hudson Taylor, or just Hudson Taylor, maybe you've heard of him. He was a pioneer missionary. He was born in the country of England in 1832. He lived until 1905. He was the founder of the China Inland Mission. And Mr. Taylor's philosophy of life was this: he must move men through God by prayer. He was a great proponent and believer in prayer, and that God would meet all of his needs through prayer. He must move men through God by prayer. And when I think about James Hudson Taylor, I think about the Bible verse in the book of James, chapter 5, verse number 16, where it says over there, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we could say, without harming the scripture there in any way, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous woman availeth much. And so over and over again in the Bible, we find examples of exhortations to prayer. Now, just a little bit of a personal testimony about J. Hudson Taylor and his influence in my life. Of course, he was gone many years before I was ever even born into this world. But I came across, there is a 2-volume set of the work of his life. The first volume is called The Growth of a Soul, and the second volume is called The Growth of a Work of God. And I guess both of them together are at least 800 or 1,000 pages. And I came across this many years ago now and began to read about Hudson Taylor, of who I'd just pretty much heard about before, But one thing I like about this is most of the two volumes are taken from his actual letters. Many years ago, people were prolific letter writers, and we've, of course, gotten away from that today. But his letters were collected and kept by his family and put into a book about his life. And of all the biographies, all the stories that I've read, all of the different accounts of different revivals, evangelists, pastors, church history, of all of them, the life story of J. Hudson Taylor has without a doubt affected me the most and influenced me the most, even in how I think about things and ministry and pastoring and prayer. In fact, I would say that two volumes said about Hudson Taylor's life was the primary source, and accepting the Bible, not talking about the Bible, but the primary source that God used to prepare my own heart to become a missionary. Now, some of you might know this, some of you might not, but my family, we were missionaries from 1999 to 2004. There was a time period I had pastored a church, and right here in Watauga County, Forest Grove Missionary Baptist Church, and I'd been there about 6 years at that time, 6.5 years, and the Lord spoke to my heart about missionary work and becoming a missionary. And at that time, there was a missionary that we supported who had been out west and started several churches, and he had written a letter, a missionary prayer letter, about the great need for pastors to come to the west and pastor these churches that had been started. And so God laid that on my heart to become a missionary. And for that time period in our lives, that is exactly what we did. We did the whole thing. We were with a mission board. We went on deputation. We went to the missionary field. We wrote the prayer letters. All the things that are involved in missionary life, we were involved in. And so the Lord used that, though, that reading of Hudson Taylor's life to prepare my heart to become a missionary, and some of the unique experiences that we would have during that time period. I would say if somebody out there listening in is interested, and you don't have to be going to China to get something out of Hudson Taylor's life. And of course, he went to China from England, but you could be going short-term mission work. You could be a missionary here in the United States or really anywhere. It will help you. It will help your faith. I sort of think it ought to be required for all missionaries to read and follow some great missionaries of the past. Well, I just wanted to say that by way of introduction as I've been thinking about different heroes of prayer. And one of the things, if you read and study about the life of Hudson Taylor over and over and over again, how that they had a need and they prayed and they trusted God and he answered that prayer. Now, Mr. Taylor was born in Yorkshire, England. He was born into a very devout, God-fearing family. His mother, his father, his siblings, they were very devoted to the work of the Lord. They were very dedicated to the work of the Lord. One of the most interesting things about Hudson Taylor's life is the story of how he was converted to Christ. Now, as a young boy, J. Hudson, that's what he's called sometimes, he was very interested in the work of the Lord. He had a real tender heart. He was active in the work of the Lord. He went to church every time the church doors were open. If they had an evangelistic outreach, they would go. He would be involved in that. I'm talking about as a young boy. And he would go and try to win souls for Christ. He would take part in revival services as far as prayer and witnessing and just whatever was needed. But as a young man, a teenager, J. Hudson Taylor, it talks about in his life story that he cooled off. There was a time in his life where he went through a period of skepticism, and he was skeptical. He became skeptical about the things of the Lord. He never ceased going to church, but he just felt like that it was all right for those who needed it, but he didn't see that it was for him. And so as a young person who's very interested in the Lord's work. And then he went through that time period of cooling off. You know, a lot of people have that experience. A lot of young people, they go away and sometimes they don't come back. But J. Hudson Taylor, he was going through this experience as a young man, and he became skeptical of the things of the Lord. Now, he had the idea, that's all right for those that need it. Well, his mother. Boy, you talk about good mamas, and I guess we could do a series on praying mamas. That would be all right to do that. But his mother knew his spiritual condition, and she did what praying mamas do. She began to pray for J. Hudson to come to know the Lord. And I want to just share just a little bit with you out of the book. And, of course, this was written a long time ago. And but I want to read just a little bit from J. Hudson Taylor's own personal testimony of how he come to know the Lord. And so he says, "And now let me tell you how God answered the prayers of my mother and of my beloved sister for my conversion. On a day I can never forget, my dear mother being absent from home, I had a holiday, and in the afternoon looked through my father's library to find some book with which to while away the unoccupied hours. Nothing attracting me, I turned over a basket of pamphlets and selected from amongst them a gospel tract that looked interesting, saying to myself, there will be a story at the beginning and a sermon at the close. I will take the former and leave the latter for those who like it. I sat down to read the book in an utterly unconcerned state of mind, believing indeed at the time that if there were any salvation, it was not for me, and with a distinct intention to put away the tract as soon as it should become prosy." And then he said, "Little did I know at the time what was going on in the heart of my dear mother, 70 or 80 miles away. She rose from the dinner table that afternoon with an intense yearning for the conversion of her boy, and feeling that absent from home and having more leisure than she could otherwise secure, a special opportunity was afforded her of pleading with God on my behalf. She went to her room and turned the key in the door, resolved not to leave the spot until her prayers were answered. Hour after hour, that dear mother pleaded until at length she could pray no longer, but was constrained to praise God for that which his Spirit taught her had already been accomplished in the conversion of her only son." He went on and he said, "I, in the meantime, had been led in the way I have mentioned to take up this little tract, and while reading it, was struck with the phrase, 'the finished work of Christ.' Why does the author use the expression, I question? Why not say the atoning or propitiatory work of Christ? Immediately the words, 'it is finished,' suggested themselves to my mind. What was finished? And I at once replied, 'a full and perfect atonement and satisfaction for sin. The debt was paid for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.' Then came the further thought, 'if the whole work was finished and the whole debt paid, what is there left for me to do?' And with this dawned the joyful conviction, as light was flashed into my soul by the Holy Spirit, that there was nothing in the world to be done but to fall down on one's knees and, accepting this Savior and his salvation, praise him forevermore." And he goes on to tell how he met his mother at the train station 2 weeks later. And he said, "I've got some news to tell you." And she said, "You don't have to tell me. I've known for 2 weeks. The Lord answered my prayer, and you've been converted." And so he said, "Thus, while my dear mother was praising God on her knees in her chamber, I was praising him in the old warehouse to which I had gone alone to read at my leisure this little book." And then he says the very last little sentence here. He said, "Brought up in such a circle and saved under such circumstances, it was perhaps natural that from that the commencement of my Christian life, I was led to feel the promises were very real and that prayer was a sober matter of fact, transacting business with God, whether on one's behalf or on the behalf of those for whom one sought his blessing." And so the prayer life of J. Hudson Taylor can be traced back to that of his mother. His mother was a great woman of prayer. And so she was praying for her son at the exact time that he came to know the Lord. And J. Hudson Taylor, throughout his missionary experience, that's what he used. His primary tool of evangelism was first to pray and to get a hold of the Lord and to see him answer prayer. Now, J. Hudson Taylor, I believe at that time, was 13 years old. It was not long after that that God began to speak to his heart about going to the country of China. Now, you have to understand, in the mid-1800s, very little was known about China. There were just a few ports that had been opened up. And, I mean, you might as well think about going to another planet as going to China. The Western world knew very little. To say that J. Hudson Taylor went by faith is an understatement. I mean, in churches at that time, missions was almost an unheard of thing, unlike today. Today, in many churches, that is just part of their ministry. Well, it ought to be that they have a mission outreach, but in the mid-1800s, it was not that way. In some circles, missions was even looked down upon. The attitude was sort of, if God wants to save the heathen, he can save the heathen. And they didn't see any sense of doing anything other than just, you know, they were sort of fatalistic in their outlook. And they looked down on those that wanted to raise money, which in most cases, that's what it boils down to. They didn't want to spend the money. And so they sort of looked down on those that wanted to go. Such thing as a mission agency or a mission board or somebody to help, something like that in that time was few and far between. J. Hudson Taylor, God laid on his heart to go to China. There were no translations of the Bible into Chinese at that time. There were no tracts. There were no literature being translated. No pioneer had went and paved the way. There was a few gentlemen that had went to some of those ports, and so they seen that there was a great need, but nobody had gone into the interior. To the Western world, China was just the dark continent, and very, very little was known about the nation of China, and they just knew there were millions and millions of souls there, and they didn't know anything about it. So you talk about faith in somebody's heart. He had to have a lot of faith, and he was going to have to live by faith. Yet J. Hudson Taylor knew that it was God's will for him to go there, and he knew that he was going to have to live by faith. Now, one of the things about Hudson Taylor that really impressed me and sort of stuck with me down through the years is that Hudson Taylor, as a very young man, he made up his mind that he would never ask anybody for anything. Now, there's one thing about asking for personal needs, and that's what he was talking about. He would never ask anybody for anything. It's another thing, if you're a missionary, to ask on behalf of the people you're ministering to. But as far as his personal needs were concerned, he had made up his mind he would never ask anybody for anything, that he would only ask the Lord, and he would depend only upon the Lord to meet his needs. And so he knew one of the reasons why he made up his mind to do this, this was his conviction to never ask anybody for anything, is because that he knew when he got to China, there would be nobody to ask. There would be nobody to depend on. When he first went to China, I mean, you talk about a step of faith. When he first went to China, he had three names that might be able to help him. The first two were unavailable. When he first got to China, the nation was in the midst of a civil war. I mean, things were a mess. And he had to really depend upon the Lord. And he knew that he wouldn't be able to depend upon man. So he lived by faith. He knew that he would have to be trained, that he would have to have some skill when he went to China. So one of the things Hudson Taylor did was he began to try to gain some medical knowledge, that he might have a medical mission and that would be part of his ministry when he got there. Well, he moved from where he lived in England to a place called Drainside. And Drainside, England, it was full of poverty and filth. It was called Drainside because there was a ditch run through it, and it was smelly. It smelled awful. And so how would you like to live? Where are you from? I'm from Drainside. That's known by that smelly ditch that runs down through it. That's where the drain was. And he moved there to work with a doctor, and so that he could gain the knowledge necessary to know something about being a doctor and medicine and all like that. And so the doctor told him when he came, and here's Hudson Taylor, he's 19 years old. The doctor told him, he said, I'm a very busy man. Remind me when your salary is due. He said, I might forget. I'm prone to forget. So remind me when it's time to pay you. Remind me. And so J. Hudson Taylor, he made up his mind right then that he would never ask that doctor to pay him. And he would use that as a test in his life to determine that God was able to remind that doctor to pay him. So that's the way he operated. He said, I'll never ask him to pay me. Well, long story short, the book, I've read this through several times, but of course there came a time the doctor did forget to pay him his salary. In fact, he not only forgot 1 week, he forgot 2 weeks, he forgot 3 weeks has gone by. J. Hudson Taylor has not received his weekly salary from this doctor that he worked for. Now, up until that time, J. Hudson Taylor, his attitude, he didn't panic. Would you panic if you forgot to get paid on Friday or your payday and you forgot, your employer forgot one, forgot two, forgot three? You know what people would be doing? They'd say, hey, boss, where's my check? But J. Hudson Taylor, he did not panic about that, and he just continued to pray about it. And his way of thinking was, well, I've still got some money. I've still got some money. I've got enough to make it to the next payday. Surely he will remember by the next payday. So he had some money set aside, and he wasn't panicking, although it had been 3 weeks since he had been paid. But here's how the Lord works. One night, Jay Hudson, he was called by a man in the village, a poor man, and J. Hudson Taylor, he was already preaching and teaching and going out into the villages and involved in missionary work even at that young age. And so a call came to him late one night, and this man said, my wife is dying, would you come and pray for her? And they were just poverty stricken. I mean, they didn't have anything. And J. Hudson said, I'd be glad to come and to pray for your wife during this terrible time. And so he asked them, he detected that the man was Irish, and he said, why didn't you call for the priest? And he said, the priest wouldn't come unless we had some money to pay him. And so we didn't call for the priest. So he called for, I guess, the next best thing in their mind, but he knew the man was Irish or Catholic. So anyway, he goes and he tries to comfort the poor family and tell them there's a loving Heavenly Father and all of these things. And all that time, J. Hudson Taylor, he had what was called a half crown in his pocket. And I don't know how much money that is, but it would be like in our day, if you had a day left of payday and you had a $20 bill. And so he had a little bit of money, but he didn't have any change. And all the time he was there, he kept thinking to himself, boy, I wish I had some change. I'd give half of it to this man and I'd keep the rest. I've got enough to do that. And boy, the longer he was there, the more he seen that this family, they really had a terrible need, and he had the means to relieve it. He could have given that man the money, but he kept thinking to himself, if I had the change, I'd gladly give him half. Let me read just a little bit from the book. He said, oh, I thought if I had 2 shillings and a sixpence instead of half a crown, how gladly should they have 1 and 6 pence of it? But still, a wretched unbelief prevented me from obeying the impulse to relieve their distress at the cost of all I possessed. It was scarcely It will scarcely seem strange that I was unable to say much to comfort these poor people. I needed comfort myself. I began to tell them, however, that they must not be cast down, and though their circumstances were very distressing, there was a kind and loving Father in heaven. And he said, but something within me cried, "You hypocrite, telling these unconverted people about a kind and loving Father in heaven and not prepared yourself to trust him without a half a crown." And so finally he went on down. He said, "You've asked me to come and pray with your wife." I said to the man, "Let us pray." And I knelt down. But as he knelt down, he found out he couldn't pray. And God was dealing with him about that half crown. Well, it ended up he gave all of his money, everything that he had, to this family. And all they were so happy. And it turns out they come to know the Lord. She got better. I mean, it was just a wonderful answer to prayer. But Jay Hudson went home broke. Nothing. He still hadn't been paid. And so he gets home, and it's Saturday, and he still hasn't been paid. I'll have to shorten my story up here because time will quickly get by. But he goes home, and he's praying. "Oh, Lord, I'm out of money. I don't have anything. A bowl of porridge is all I've got left. My rent's due." And so he stayed on that Saturday night, and he worked till about 10 o'clock. And a little bit earlier that evening, though, the doctor came in, and he was sitting there. I guess they were just talking at the end of the day. And he said, just all of a sudden, he said, "Oh, my, I forgot to pay you." And Jay Hudson, he was working on a little something over in the corner there, and he said his heart about jumped out of his chest. "Oh, my prayer's been answered," God reminded the doctor. And he said, "I forgot to pay you." And Jay Hudson knew that God had answered his prayer. But the doctor said, I told you to remind me if I forgot. And you didn't remind me, and I've already sent my money off to the bank. And so I don't have any money to pay you." So Jay Hudson, his heart, you know, he was happy. And then all of a sudden he was sad again. He thought he was going to get paid. So he worked that night till about 10 o'clock, and he was preparing for Sunday morning. He knew he had to go and preach and do some things like that. And he knew going in at that late hour he wouldn't have to see his landlady. And he said, "Maybe something will come in by Monday." And he's getting ready to pack up and go home. And the doctor came in, and he said, "The funniest thing just happened." He said, "One of my richest clients just came by." Now, this is at 10 o'clock at night. We don't have anything going on at 10 o'clock at my house except getting ready to go to bed. But he said, "This one of my richest clients came by, and he could have written a check at any time and sent it." He said, "But he said that he felt that he needed to come right then and settle up with the doctor." And so the doctor came in, and he had this money, and he paid Jay Hudson, and boy, what an increase of faith. He had the money that he needed, and that taught him, that little instance in his life taught him that God was able to answer his prayers and that he could truly depend just upon the Lord to answer his prayers. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now, maybe you've never heard of Jay Hudson Taylor, but one of the things we would say about the life of faith is, how do you know it works if you're never tested? I said this a few Sundays ago at church. It's easy to talk about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, if your refrigerator's full and the cabinets are full and you know, the money's coming in and you got your paycheck and got your insurance. But what about when that's gone? Can you trust the Lord? Sometimes he allows tests to come into our lives. Now, I'll just say this in closing. Jay Hudson Taylor, by the end of his life, I mean, when he went, you talk about a pioneer missionary, he was a pioneer. But by the end of his life, the New Testament had been translated into the Chinese Ningpo dialect, which is still in use today. By the time that he passed away, there were 205 mission stations in China with 849 missionaries and 125,000 Chinese Christians involved in the China Inland Mission. It's really a miraculous thing to see how the Lord worked in the life of Jay Hudson Taylor. So we've been studying about heroes of prayer. And it's my prayer that God would use the little lessons each week to stir your heart to pray. And that's what we need in this day and time. We need more people that will believe and operate and pray in faith. And so our time is quickly coming gone today. We do appreciate you listening in, and we hope you have a great day. You can find out more on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. Have a great day, and God bless.